Hi, everybody. Chuck Bonneville and Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, true straight up, and boy, is it ever. What a great week for Donald Trump, for Trump fans, for Republicans in general, and in Colorado. Some great news. So it's been wonderful. A great week. We got the Democratic bait tonight, which I hope they just kill each other. And so things are going just wonderful these days.
Don't say you hope they just kill each other.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't make that allegory. I don't mean it literally. I do not want them to hurt each other. I just meant rhetorically.
Hey, I shouldn't laugh. No, I'm going to get in trouble too.
Yeah, you're in
And
trouble.
now I'm in trouble too. Hey, it's a lot going on the show today. Want to let you know, coming up in about 40 minutes, we're going to have Jan Cook. She's a Colorado grassroots activist. She's with Colorado Freedom Force. And one of the things Colorado Freedom Force is doing that's just great this year is they're keeping track of all the shenanigans. And I use that term. There's a worse term, really, I think we should use. But for what the Democrats are doing up at the state capitol. And again, if you're not in Colorado, keep in mind, these Democrats, it's a Colorado model that they are importing or exporting, rather, around the country. So if you hear something like when you hear that in Colorado, they're trying to pass, again, heroin injection sites. So there would be like locations around the city where people could go and buy their heroin
safely,
shoot up their heroin, couldn't be arrested, heroin dealers
couldn't be
arrested.
Don't want to be bothered with treatment because that makes them feel bad. So
right.
No treatment
no
suggestions.
Treatment suggestions. Nope. And
thank
that's
God.
Yeah. So if you think that would never happen in my city, think again, because that's
think
part of
real
the plan.
Quick.
So we're going to have Jan on regularly to keep us up to date on what's going on there. Another thing I want to let you know, if you're in Colorado, Chuck and I next Tuesday on the 11th are going to be appearing. Thank you so much to Randy Corcoran for this generous offer at the Arapahoe County Tea Party meeting.
That'd be great. We were at the North Jeffco Tea Party meeting. Had a great time. Big crowd. Really rocking and rolling. And I hope, you know, the Arapahoe is the biggest.
Oh,
I think,
it's
in the
huge.
State.
Yeah, you've been there. There's been a ton of people.
I have.
That's Tuesday, February. And we'll remind you of this. In fact, we'll have Randy on Monday to talk about it. 6:30 to 8:30. They hold it at the South Metro Fire Rescue Building, which is essentially at Mineral and Yosemite, just west of I-25. So if you're not doing anything, we would love to see you.
Yeah.
Again, come out and meet us. They have a great meeting there, too. Another thing I want to let folks know, we're going to open the lines up right now till Jan comes on. The call in is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And if you are technically inclined, we're going to throw something out there. So don't freak out if you're not technically
inclined. You
don't have
to be that technical.
No, but a little bit. Just don't listen to this next part. But we're doing this meeting. The BBS folks, BBS radio folks are great. We're doing this via Zoom. So if you wanted to appear with us in, you know, in the
Side
video,
split,
they kind of split the screen down there. So you'd be where Chuck was. He'd
no,
still
no.
be in the, you'd squish all over. Yeah.
Truly, it would just take a
You can do this by going to zoom.us. That's zoom.us. Now, you're going to have to sign in if you've
Which
never
takes
done
20
it.
20 seconds.
Right, if you've never done it before. And then you click on join meeting. Okay, so get your pens ready because I'm going to give you the meeting number to join, and this is going to be the same meeting number.
So you'll pop up right there asking your question.
Right, it's 293-202-060. That's 293-202-060. And what you would do there is you would just pop up. Now, don't swear or say anything because you can hear you. Okay, it's kind of like you were joining.
This is not.
Right, it's 293. There we go. So it is. So it would be. How do I say? It's like a conference call, is what it would be.
Right.
But if you want to do that, you can do that, and you'll pop up in, with the video with us. Otherwise, if you want to call in, 888.
We're adding that as part of our conservative dating site profile.
So oh, that's
people
right.
Can really
that's
see
right.
And go, oh, yeah, that's my type. I think I'd like
that's
to
right.
Date
that's
him
right.
Or
her. So if no lip syncing there, it's eight. If you just want to call in the old fashioned way, 888-627-6008. And that's what we have going on today. So let's go back to Trump. I'm not tired of winning yet. Are you tired of winning yet?
No,
I mean,
no.
Let's count the ways we won this week.
You cannot be tired of winning in Colorado if you're a Republican.
All right, well, we're going to leave that aside. So Trump first beats the impeachment, right?
Gets acquitted other than Pierre Delecto, and he deserves all the grief he's getting. And he's so happy that he's now, you know.
Exactly.
Well, one lousy senator, I think it's Coombs, maybe somebody else, Blumenthal said, I want all my kids to grow up like Mitt Romney. Yeah,
right, exactly.
There's a curse. There's a curse.
So, but except for him, so he did that. He did a knock it out of the ballpark State of the Union speech.
That being Trump.
That being Trump. He then, I liked what he did when he met with all of the Congress people, and he kind of just ripped everybody a new one. If I were Jim Comey, I mean, I would be a little bit concerned. Another thing that happened today, which is interesting, is Vindman, the, what does Rush call
Pompous.
Him? Oh, can you see Vindman?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was escorted out of the White House today,
Yay!
So good for him. Good for Trump for doing that. The other thing, the emoluments
case,
which is idiotic anyway, was kicked out. The Democrats
3-0
are standing there.
In the D.C. Circuit, which is a 7-4 Democratic circuit, you only pick three judges except on bonk decisions. That's great. I mean,
right.
You would not expect him to necessarily win a D.C. Circuit, so I haven't checked the judges, but that's great.
And then the best news of all, Donald Trump is going to be coming to Colorado.
Yee-hoo!
Yeah, on the 20th, February 20th. It's going to be down at the Broadmoor at like 5 p.m., so that's going to be great. So
yeah,
we can, that's going to be a real good thing. Wait, people, let's see. Oh, I have to put my glasses on.
Julie hates to do.
Yeah, which I hate to do because it wrecks my hair. But anyway, one of the other things we want to talk about, though, is Trump's coming and then the Democrat debate and then the New Hampshire primary. But first, let's talk about Trump. You know, we have been saying, even when we were at Can You Ask for a long time, please, please. We said before in the last election, please, please, please come to Colorado.
He did come in the last election.
Right.
He only lost by 4%. Anything under 5% is considered highly competitive, but you wouldn't have known that by what you hear from people.
And so you read stuff about it. And here again, we want to give you the truth straight up. And whether you like Trump or don't like Trump, do not buy the spin. Any article you read on this is going to be Trump is coming in. It's a heavily blue state, blah, blah, blah. It is not. Let's keep in mind a couple of things. One, like you said, Trump lost by 5%.
Under
4%. Under 5%. Which is a better showing than what Mitt Romney did, right? When he was here,
far better McCain.
So that's the insanity part. So it is not so much a blue state. We've talked about this a lot on the show. What happens in Colorado? You have this massive group of unaffiliated voters.
Because if you didn't register on your own, you get automatically registered when you go get your license, and they automatically put you in there. They don't put you Republican or Democrat, and boom, you're there. So whether you view yourself as an independent.
Right.
And some do, but some don't. So this huge number, and the Democrats last time found out every Democrat independent registered.
They did their data research,
yeah,
basically.
And then army of people, but
right.
It's just amazing. There's an article, I forget the woman's name, who said, you know, there really are no swing voters, and it's important to know that David Flaherty, who I love at Magellan Strategy, said the usual. What do you call it?
Colorado is turning blue. It's not.
But everywhere you go, if you go like the old Republican National Party, they said, okay, 42% are Democrats, 42% are Republican. Everybody's got to get that swing voters at 15%.
Right.
And you argue by sounding more centrist. And she said, no, none of that is true. All you get is that very few people, very few, and I can't think of a very few, switch back and forth. Oh, I'll vote for Trump this time.
I'll vote for Bernie Sanders next time.
There are some. I mean, you know, Obama had some vote for him. But it's turnout. If you get your voters out, then all of a sudden it swings. But it's not because all these people change their mind. It's because you got and your voters were enthusiastic. In Colorado, you don't have to be enthusiastic if you're a Democrat. All you have to
do is go to your house. They knock on the door and sit there while you fill it out.
They come on Halloween. They came here because of Julie's daughter and stuff. So It's an amazing thing. Well, voter enthusiasm is unimportant. What it is canvassing enthusiasm. The go, you know, the army and the men and women from, you know, Planned Parenthood.
Here's where the Trump coming to Colorado to me is great news on many fronts. Number one, it gives all of us a chance to go see Donald Trump. And we've talked to people. And if you've been to a Donald Trump rally, go ahead and call us up, 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear, you know, what you thought of it. Yeah, your experience. And are you going to go again? There's that, number one. Number two, we know from talking to the Trump campaign folks, and we've talked to them and the folks at the RNC, and they tell us at the Trump campaigns, they're seeing a significant, and by that I mean in some cases like 50% of the people are there who have not been regular voters, right? They haven't voted before. They didn't.
No, 10%.
10%.
They didn't vote in the last election.
Okay. But well, there's a big percentage though, too, who are independent. Maybe it's 57% are independents. Big percentage are independents.
Democrats or independents. It's
so over these, 50%. And what the Trump campaign is doing is, by the way, they're taking everybody's, you know, all their contact information. I think one, to hit them up for fundraising, which you can't do, but largely to enter it into their database.
Yeah, they want to know you know, get these people out to vote. I mean, they don't really think that, you know, that their 10 bucks is going to make the difference. They want to, hey, this is a Trump supporter. And we got to get, we got to get them involved. We got to make sure we send them materials. We got to keep them in, involved and enthusiastic, which is great.
This and I think, like you said, this is a great, sometimes as Colorado Republicans, we're like, we're not as excited as we feel like we could be, but this is something to be excited about.
That's the first good news I think we've had for a while.
Right. And I don't know, here's the other thing I like about it too. I don't know what the Trump internal polling shows in terms of is Colorado winnable or not winnable. I don't know about that. But to me, what I'd like
the internal polling doesn't do you any good
if you don't know who to call.
If you don't know who to call.
Yeah. I mean, you,
once again, this is a ballot harvesting state. It really is. Can they go out and get the, and it's particularly it's when the younger voter doesn't feel like voting particularly. So I don't care. Got other things to do. Well, if you identify and make friends with them, boom, you just pick up their ballot, you're in. Before, you need to make sure that you're base went out. But, you know, now you got to make sure that, you know, that has to come out. But all the other ones, your base is probably going to come out. But you got to get all the ones that really, they're doing other things in life. Now, the Democrats are taking one step further. You know, they did, as people called in nursing homes, so they went to Alzheimer patients and got them to vote however they told them.
Right. And well, yeah, a lot of stuff going on. But I think, though, there are some other good things happening in Colorado and other states that will help turn out, I think, people who are more likely to support Trump than not. One is in Colorado, the Initiative 76 that says you have to be a U.S. citizen to vote in a U.S. election. Seems like a no-brainer, but that they want to pass that into law here. And the other is to repeal one of the Democrats' main fights to take away your right to vote. And that is they're trying to get rid of the Electoral College. This would, and they did that here in Colorado. Yeah, the
Buttigieg
legislature
just endorsed getting rid of it.
Well, yeah, why not? Look, so anyway, so there are a lot of reasons to be excited. But what I like about it is it says to me, which is something I believe about Donald Trump, and that is that he's like, leaving no stone unturned. He's a fighter, right? It's like if there's a vote out there, he wants to try to get it. So he's coming to Colorado. Who knows how often he'll come, but I think it's just great. I think it's great for the party. I think it's great for all kinds of things. And again, don't believe what you read when they say, you know, on blog sites or in, oh, say, the Denver Post newspapers that like, oh, it's a waste of time for Trump to come here. It's not.
Well, yeah. Depending upon if they can build a ground game. It is. You don't build a ground game.
Well, let's talk about pessimistic.
I'm not pessimistic. It's what you have to do to win. You know, Donald Trump wants to win.
Right.
And so he didn't go out. He's not coming here just for the.
Oh, no. Just to say, oh, well, I hope they get their act together there. Yeah. Hopefully they're going to be helping. So there's that. So if you want to weigh in on that, 888-627-6008.
Get out your phone number.
Really, 888-627-6008. You can also text me if you want to weigh in that way. What about then? Okay, so we talked about Donald Trump's good week, very, very good week.
Right.
What about the Democrats? There's that book, Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events. And I think the Democrats had a series of unfortunate events.
Well, Iowa, they just finished, before the re-canvass of votes, they just finished up. Surprise, surprise. Bernie won the popular vote. Somehow Buttigieg ends up with more delegate equivalents by one or two, but does make they'll have the same amount of delegates.
Well, and let's just take a poll. Raise your hand if you believe the Iowa count. No. Yeah. I mean, no. Could anyone believe that? It's so ridiculous. And here's the thing. It makes you wonder because this is the way they did it in Iowa, this is how they've been doing it all along,
yes,
right? They
just, yes, since 1972.
We just haven't seen this, right?
Because they only gave the results. So one big, how many delegates? And that was it. And everyone, oh, okay, that's the number of delegates. Although there were questions by people in the past. But it's just all the.
Is this on the up and up? So first you have that debacle, right? And then you've got, and I think one of the things it really did was annoy the campaigns are number one mad at the DNC because the DNC has now wandered in and said, oh, well, we're going to recount. And Iowa's like, the heck you are if a campaign wants us to do it. And I think the campaigns like moved on. We're in New Hampshire right now, right? So you've got that going on. I think that, you know, Buttigieg surged, and I've been reading a lot of conspiracy theory, Democrat conspiracy theories, that what they're doing is anything to bury Bernie. So they're willing to rig the vote to make it look like Buttigieg surged. And then, you know, once they kind of things calm down, then they're gonna plummet him. They're going to rig it again to deflate him.
Make room for who?
Biden, which I just think is. No, I think if you're if I'm sorry,
he's,
but
he's signing up for a long term disability care facility or something.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, I think it hurt Biden. I think, and I'm sorry too. I don't mean to say I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm glad the Des Moines Register and that lady who did the poll that showed that Biden was not doing well, they buried that. Right. They tried to destroy the caucus. Now they're in New Hampshire. Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, see, what they're complaining about in New Hampshire, this is interesting, because it applies to Colorado. They're saying that the dastardly Republicans are going to vote for Bernie because they can register just like the
Colorado's an open primary.
So, you know, you can anytime go in and change to independent. I know we did for the last election so we could vote the Democrats we hated. And we thought the weakest candidates because there are no big Republican ones. And that's true now. I mean, as a practical matter for the presidential primary, if you're independent, go vote for Bernie. And well, you don't have to. Why not?
Barney's going to vote for our caller. Barney's going to vote for Amy Klobuchar.
Well, you need some counseling on that one.
But here's one of the things that is interesting too that folks have to keep in mind is in Colorado. So this is complicated. So tell me if I get this wrong, which is possible. So it's an open primary, so you can mail in who you would vote for the you can only be one or the other, right? The Democrat or Republican nominee for president. So there's going to be an overall report from that, right? Once that gets done. But the delegates, just like in Iowa, Colorado, it's not a winner take all, right?
None of them are for the Democrats.
And it's going to be split up depending on the vote size in the congressional districts.
Yeah, we have four congressional districts.
And they have to wait, I think, till after the caucuses to figure that out, right? And now the caucuses are in March. I mean, before Super Tuesday or after Super Tuesday.
It should be a wonderful cluster there.
Right. So what you're going to have is you're going to have everybody saying, Buttigieg won the popular vote, or Amy Klobuchar won Michael Bennett won the popular vote by, 2%. But then everybody else still gets delegates. And if he didn't win in Denver, let's say, which has more delegates, it's a similar thing. You could win the popular vote, but not come out with more delegates. And I think the Colorado Democrat Party is going to have some explaining to do too. I mean, it's going
to
be a potential cluster.
You think the Denver Post is going to tell us about it?
No, that's what they're going to be. There's going to be no media coverage of the Democrat primary. So let me ask you this. Chuck and I talk about this. And again, 888-627-6008. If you want to weigh in on this, you can call in and join us live. Who would you rather have Trump run against? Because I was saying, and Chuck and I disagree on this a little bit. I haven't said anything yet. That Buttigieg, I just don't see him as particularly viable. The way I said, maybe if the economy was tanking, maybe if it were time for a hope and change candidate, something like that, that would be one thing. But I was comparing it to Trump is a captain of the ship. The ship is going great. Everything's full speed ahead. You got the jobs report today. All kinds of great things are happening.
Yeah, 240,000 jobs or something.
Just right.
Amazing.
If you were a voter, would you say the ship is going great? No, I want to get rid of that captain and put in another young captain who's never sailed before.
Barack Obama?
I'm going to say there's a difference. Now, here's where we disagree. I think there's a difference between Pete Buttigieg, who is the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, and Barack Obama.
What was the difference? Barack Obama was a state senator who voted just present. He was a total non-entity. He ran for the Senate and got the divorce files exposed of the Republican candidate. And there he was. And from the time he got in, with no experience, really, he got out of law school and then did some adjunct professing. He did nothing. But they don't care. They don't care. And then he was God's savior to mankind. I mean, the people with the greatest experience for to be president were Richard Nixon, Hillary Clinton, and now Joe Biden. But I don't think any of those are going to be president. And it's going to be somebody who is far less qualified than those three, thank God.
I know. I just still wonder, though. I mean, I wouldn't mind Trump running against Pete Buttigieg because I just think he looks young. I think if you're like the average, celebrated white suburban woman, of which I am one, right, would you be going like, oh, yeah, that guy, he looks so cute. You know, he looks so young.
Well,
and he looks so inexperienced.
Voted,
I think white suburban women aren't nearly as homogenous as the polls think. So.
Well, I'd rather have Bernie because I think he may be a tougher opponent than Buttigieg, but you get your choice. You want socialism or you want free market. I mean, there it is, right in your face. And I think while Bernie would be tougher, I think he would badly hurt ticket items, which Colorado we could use. So I'm really hoping Bernie takes it. But Buttigieg is going to be tougher than you think. And it'll be interesting tonight. What do they start going after him? He's had a free ride every now, you know.
Yeah, I'm texting here. I'm sorry, people. It's like I have to put my glasses on to text. I wish it didn't, so I apologize for that. We have Barney on line one, though. He heard us talking about Amy Klobuchar. Hey, Barney, good afternoon.
Hello, Julie. Hello, Chuck.
Are you going in for counseling on this Amy Klobuchar deal?
Chuck, I was going to ask you to be my best man, so piss off. I mean, I'm offended, buddy. This was my call. I was actually going to call you and say, hey, Chuck, why don't you be my... Look at, man, she's crazy. Oh. That's why I love her. But whatever. And by the way, Buttigieg was going to be my ring boy. Do you have a problem with that?
No.
He'd be great.
He'd be perfect.
Bridal party.
And here we go, Barney. You could have Michael Bloomberg stand on a box and officiate the ceremony.
Yeah, there you go. Get everybody in there.
Hey. Maybe more like a freaking stepladder. Mike will get it done. Will get it done. Yeah.
So what do you make of this
I'm
week?
I'm with you, Chuck.
Oh, go ahead.
It's been awesome. It's been awesome for Trump. And I listened to Limbaugh today, and I'm
that was
you know,
great to
I,
hear him
guys,
today.
I,
that was great to hear him. Yeah.
It was. It really was. He sounds good. I love him. I mean, he's given me 30 years of entertainment. And,
right.
You know,
right.
I never had to bump into you guys because you guys were never on when he was on, so.
He called us about that. And he's like,
good thing. Now, you know, I love you guys. I've been, you know, but I am, it's been a great week for him. And you know what? The tearing up and they're just really, I'm with you, Chuck. Make it Bernie because that's crystal clear. And if Bernie wins, fine. You know, if that's where the country wants to go, that's great.
Then we can all go live with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry or something. So,
Victoria.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
And Amy.
All right. Well, you know, I think she probably has some campaign stops here. All the Democrats are in Colorado here in the next few days, too. I'm not sure why, but they are.
Oh, really?
So I think maybe you need to sign up.
Maybe I could run her down.
Yeah, sign up for Amy Klobuchar in Colorado, and you'll get the things, and you can meet her.
You can get a little tape.
I could stalk her.
Screaming at you as an underling. She treats you like you work
exactly.
for her.
Exactly, and a knife. Don't forget the knife, because I guarantee you she's thrown a couple of those in her days.
Yeah, there you go.
Sure of it. So, all right, Chuck, you're off the top of the list for the best man.
You're sorry.
All right. Thanks, Barney. Have
Take
a
care,
great
Barney.
See you guys
have a great
later.
Day.
Bye.
Thank you. 888-627-6008 is the number. You know, I don't know. The Democrat primary, we talked about this last time. At this time in 2016, the Republican primary was still pretty much up in the air, right? I mean, I think at this point, no one would have said, oh, yeah, it's going to be Donald Trump hands down and then he's going to win. Would you say?
Well, no, because a lot of our delegates were Ted Cruz delegates and they went to the convention as Ted Cruz delegates. They reportedly walked out as Ted Cruz candidate. So, you know, Donald Trump did not win Colorado.
No, but I mean it nationally even. Nationally, it wasn't so clear.
It wouldn't have been clear because they wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't have gone out that hard to get the Ted Cruz candidates if people thought it was a
But I think
deal.
I read a thing today. It was a column which I thought was kind of funny. Because if you're the Democrats, and I retweeted it. If you guys aren't following Conservative Mama, you got to follow her. She's in Colorado Springs. Her parents or her dad's involved in politics. I guess I won't say her real name. But she's so funny. And she has this Twitter thing out today where she's pretending to be a Democrat. And she says, we always get it wrong. We thought impeachment, quid pro quo, Adam Schiff. We got it wrong. We thought Trump was, you know, North Korea was going to attack us. Wrong. We thought China was going to tank the economy. Wrong. It's better than ever. And then she kind of goes, so does anyone have any ideas for the Democratic Party? And then she cuts to herself and that sort of thing. And goes, I know it's been done before, but I say that's called Trump a racist. And then they cut back to her and she's just going like that. Here's the thing. And so where I'm going, this cracked me up because I think this is a columnist who wasn't really a Trump fan, but he said no matter what the Democrats throw at Trump, they throw Mueller at Trump. They throw impeachment at Trump. No,
they throw Adam Schiff at Trump.
Nancy Pelosi rips his speech. He comes back and today gets rid of Vindman from the White House, right? They said Trump is not like some savvy political genius. It said he's more like this alien space space monster, whatever weapon.
Absorbs.
Whatever weapon you fire at him, he absorbs it. Right, he absorbs it and comes out stronger, And that's true. They haven't figured out what to do. And we've talked with our Fred Ted Trimple, who's a Democrat strategist, was going to be on
today,
but he is stuck in a plane. Actually, I believe this would be an interesting conversation. He was at the National Prayer Breakfast meeting
with the president and everyone else.
With everybody there. So, he will be on Monday, I think, or Wednesday. I said, we'll take either day, given everything going on. I don't know if maybe the DNC did something to delay his plane so he couldn't be on. They rigged it or something like that. But we want to remind you, if you're joining us, Jan Cook, though, with Colorado Freedom Force is coming up in about 10 minutes here to give us what's going on in the Colorado legislature. But first on the national, I know what we read here, when you see us go like this, there's a chat screen here where our producers at BBS tell us what's going on.
But it's about
that. Yeah. It's like they couldn't make us big enough.
Somebody asked on Twitter, who's that nice couple with the heads cut off right behind us in the wedding dress? And so that's Julie and I in Pisa, Italy, when we got married. And we had this huge entourage of Japanese and other camera people.
They thought we were important.
They kept going, it's some rich American. It's got to be Donald and stuff. And so we just, it was like having a celebrity wedding without being a celebrity.
Well, and here's, I'll tell a quick story on that. So I'm wearing the full wedding dress. Mm-hmm. And let's just say this was not my first rodeo wedding. And I was just going to get something more simple than the whole thing with the veil and the train and everything. And so we were someplace. And Chuck was kind of leafing through because he was bored, some bridal magazine. And
somebody had got me a manicure and a pedicure as a wedding present, an old girlfriend. And so I was there, and all they had were wedding. It wasn't like, oh, I want all that. Let me see those wedding ones. Look at them and say, well, what do you think?
This one is really pretty. Yeah. Now, keep in mind, this is like 3 days before we leave for Italy. And it was like the full frigging wedding thing.
It was an offhand remark.
And he's like, I think you should get this. Right. Yeah. You should get this. Yeah, exactly. you should get this one. So I get off. I call my daughter. I'm like, meet me at David's Bridal. And this is a free ad for David's Bridal. So we go to David's Bridal. They're like, I need this. And lo and behold, they did it all.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Chuck is like, why did you bring this whole dress? Because it took like three suitcases. And I'm like, you want. So anyway,
it worked out perfectly because everybody thought we were the biggest. We were just very funny. Wealthy celebrity people.
It was fun. I was a fan of the photographer. I was walking around going, Like I'm some celebrity person.
Well, we hired one photographer to do the wedding pictures in City Hall and all that. And, of course, in Italy, if you have one, they get four other assistants. So then you had five. And then all the Japanese tourists kind of went, wait a minute. Look at all these people. They're coming down. The women, they want a wedding dress. So they start coming. Then other people, well, look at all those people.
I know. It was pretty funny.
We took over Pisa.
We did. It was wonderful. And if anyone ever wants to get married in Italy, I highly recommend it. Or even just go back. But anyway, that's an aside. Back to politics. You know, what else is going on today? It's so much. It's I think the firing. Oh, this is what I'm going to talk about. The firing, the removal of Vindman. Right. As Rush Limbaugh says, can you see? He's the national security guy who
worked with the whistleblower,
and helped set that whole thing up. Right. And you got to wonder just how crooked and how corrupt he is.
Just look at him.
And thank goodness for Trump for saying, okay, now you're gone.
Yeah.
Right. I think if you're calling me, I mean,
he's not gone because he's just going to go over the Pentagon.
But he's not in the White House anymore. He's the president said when he was
his brother out too.
So yeah. Who was with the IG section, right?
He's just the one that reviewed all the books for right.
So you had that going on. In the meantime, though, when Trump was leaving the White House today, for something, he stopped and did a little, as he does, impromptu news conference. And one of the things he talked about that, and he said, there are a lot of really bad people in that. And we've got some talented people looking at this. So we may see it happening. And you can see the mainstream media fighting back. Because what do you guys think about this? So this was leaked to the Daily Beast, which has been a source of leaks for the deep state to get its corrupt message and lies out, talking about some 162-page briefing paper handed out to the folks in the Fox News department, and basically calling Rudy Giuliani, John Solomon, who's a great reporter, and Sean Hannity spreading disinformation. Let me tell you.
So you got the deep state in Fox, who's whose ownership.
Well, and it was just an outright lie, too, right? It's true. I mean, you just go read John Solomon, and they definitely were trying to dig up dirt on Manafort. They're talking about back ledger, right? That now new documents, which was used to help kind of nail Manafort, or at least to launch an investigation. Well, now they've released documents that show that the source of the black ledger just said, oh, we just made it up. There was no black ledger. No, there were no payments back and forth, right? Now, the same Fox, whoever wrote this,
Brian Murphy,
he's saying
political analyst.
Oh, that's all debunked. It's like, well, it's not debunked. What's debunked is that Trump did anything wrong.
You're debunked.
And what they use, I can tell you from having been at the TV station when I was a TV reporter, sometimes for big things, what they'll do is they'll go ahead and they put together somebody who theoretically knows what they're talking about will put together sort of like a briefing paper, right? So that everybody can read it if they need to know what's going on. Right. And most of them don't, which is the only interesting thing. But you know, to me, the fact that it gets leaked to the Daily Beast, it's trying to undercut Sean Hannity. You see Fox Network,
I think it did a good job of undercutting Brian Murphy. You know, hopefully people like him deserve to be undercut. One of the things I wanted to talk about, I love this war among Democrats that you've noted about, where identity politics gone wild.
Bonkers. You have to lean more toward the mic.
Yeah. And for example, with the Buttigieg's one, you know, they all complained that they didn't have people of color weren't enough. And apparently Elizabeth Warren has apologized.
She fired your entire Nevada staff, practically.
Saying they were not nice to the six women of color. Now, one thing about human nature is we all line up in little pecking orders that we subconsciously have. Maybe sometimes based on age, you defer to someone who's a little older. Maybe you defer to somebody younger, somebody bigger or prettier or richer or everybody else. But if people just are always fighting, there's no order, then the ducks have to all get behind the mother duck. Or they'll all get lost. So there is this natural tendency to which, you know, they now call white privilege in some cases, but the biggest group in Democratic politics is white women. I mean, by far. I mean, 60% of the Iowa were women, and vast majorities were white women. And so there's the women of color come in and go, well, I'm not deferring you. Who are you? You in charge?
Well, we saw that happen in Colorado, right? Where a candidate for state office was running, and it was Jenna Griswold, right? And at the last, the African American candidate said, "Well, who is she to jump into the race?"
Get out of here. So, you know, white women who are the top of the totem pole in the Democratic Party, because it's the largest ethnic and gender group, is now coming under attack by the transgenders who really don't necessarily get women. We're the better. We're the chansies. Come on. And then women of color kind of go, you know, we're not deferring to you
anymore. Like you said, it's rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
Who wins?
And it's not clear who wins. Yeah. I mean, the one of those is the Kobe Bryant. Or, you know, there are a lot of women, white women, who came out and go, well, he's in charge of rape. And, you know, that was a credible charge. And then, whoom, you know.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Gail King
at CBS, Oprah's friend, right?
Oprah came on. She's a victim. She's a victim.
Here's the thing. So, and again, call 888-627-6008. I had to read that several times before I could see what the controversy was, right? I couldn't figure out, were they mad because she mentioned it, or were they mad because they thought she should have made more about it?
No, I remember.
I covered that, right? I covered that. It was up in Eagle County many years ago. And then it was Kobe Bryant was accused of this crime, and the charges were dismissed after the victim said she wanted him dropped. There was a civil case. Kobe Bryant, by all accounts, went on to be a great dad, great husband, certainly a great NBA player. But I will say, it just seemed kind of weird to me. So you have the clash, like you said, of the Me Too movement, right? You had that Washington Post report.
Yes, right.
Who tweeted, by the way, does anybody remember that? And then she gets suspended. Gail King asked what to me was a legitimate question of somebody else. Well, how did that impact how you viewed him ever? And so CBS put that in a little clip, and all of a sudden Gail King's getting hammered, And then she's like,
hasn't slept for 2 days.
She hasn't slept for 2 days. People giving her death threats. And she's like, I'm mortified that they put that on. I'm like, wait, you asked it. Mm-hmm. And she said it was taken out of context. And it wasn't actually taken out of context.
Everything's taken out of context.
Yeah. And so I, to me, and I think you're right there. So what trumps, pardon the pun, but what trumps what? And in this case, it seems as if the African-American superstar
trumps the
Me Too movement.
Right. So in other times it doesn't, and now we don't know which necessarily.
Well, and it's tricky being a Democrat.
Yeah,
they got to call Lawfare up every morning and say, who do we like today? I mean, and Gayle King.
Well, Ted was all, you know, they have these groups and say, okay, we will have so-and-so head this group up. And they said, wait a minute, that wasn't a person of color. So, well, yeah, no, but you know, he's very nice. He's gay. And they kind of go, no, that doesn't win anymore. They have to be a person of color. And they kind of go, but this is the best person. Kind of, do I have to tell
yeah,
you
no,
again?
Yeah, best
do
person.
Do we have to keep on? You want no money?
No.
And so they're kind of going wild.
It is interesting. Hey, and I want to ask a question. So Jan Cook with Colorado Freedom Force is going to be joining us. Jan, you're not on live right now, but I can see you. Can we bring you up now since Ted? Or I know you were going to be.
You can.
Okay, because Jan is doing something enormously complicated, technically tricky that I don't know how to do. But let's bring up Jan Cook then. Now, thank you. We had Ted is, like I said, is stuck on a plane, so we can bring you up early. Jan, people who've listened to our show know who Jan Cook is. Anyone in Colorado does with the Colorado Freedom Force. So first off, hey, thank you for your time.
Hey, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
We can see you. And
terrific. So thanks for having me.
Yes. Why don't you maybe start off and first kind of explain to folks what is Colorado Freedom Force?
Colorado Freedom Force really was born out of all the recall efforts that happened last year, where citizens all across the state were just upset, whether it was local legislators or whether it was Governor Polis. And what happened was there were all these people that never met each other before, never saw each other at a, like, for example, a traditional Republican breakfast. These were people that were conservatives, Democrats, unaffiliated, who never knew each other before, but were coming together because they were so incensed by the 2019 legislature. And so from that, a number of people said, hey, we want to keep fighting. How do we keep fighting? That's how the concept of Colorado Freedom Force came about.
Okay.
A grassroots army.
Oh, go ahead.
Just a grassroots army of people that really want to fight for parental rights, want to fight for their Second Amendment rights, want to fight for individual rights.
One of the things, too, that I appreciate that you guys do is, you know, it's hard if you're living your life, going around your life, you know, you have no idea that at the legislature, they're about to pass a law that's going to take your gun away, say, or is going to say your kindergartner has to have, you know, transgender identity politics explained to them. You don't know that until it's too late and you read it in the paper and you're like, what? But what you guys do that I think is so excellent is you keep folks informed up front when there's still time.
That's right. Yeah, as a matter of fact, if you and Chuck have not joined us, we have a free weekly Sunday publication, and we work with a number of different policymakers, former legislators, and we find out what bills do we think are the most infringing on our rights. So we focus on that. Now, there are other groups that are focusing more on, let's say, strictly parental rights and different things. We're working as well so that we can collectively get together, and even though we have splintered different groups, I'll give you an example. The Centennial Institute does a frontline call every week where they're tracking the bills that are interesting to them. Well, we're going to have bills that overlap so we can support one another down at the Capitol, writing emails, making phone calls, and alerting people. Let me give you an example of one of these bills. Wait to hear this one, since you both have a son.
Right.
This one introduced last week on the 4th, and it's bill SB 2156. And what this bill is going to do, I'm going to read an excerpt. The bill allows a healthcare provider to administer, dispense, and prescribe preventative measures or medications where applicable to STIs. And the consent of the parent is not requisite. You do not have to get permission, although the counselors may suggest getting your parents involved, but you don't necessarily have to have them involved in order to receive this treatment. Can you imagine?
No, that's okay. Let's put it in layman's terms. And what ages are we talking about here?
They're saying the request of a minor patient, but they don't, it may be later on in the bill, but in this excerpt, they don't specify an age. They simply specify minor patient.
Minors are just this. So this is a bill that would say that your kid, your child, who you're responsible for, who you love more than anyone else out there, can get prescriptions for treatment for sexually transmitted diseases. Okay, sexually transmitted diseases, and you as a parent, there's no requirement that you be informed.
That's exactly right.
No, I'm going to just raise something, and I'm sorry, and I love most of the teachers out there, right? But let's just take a look and kind of do a walk through memory lane of the teachers in Colorado who have been arrested, indicted, charged, and imprisoned for sexually assaulting students. I mean, what is, if you're a kid, and I mean, it's sad, but this is true. Sexual assault on children is a fact of life. As a result, so are sexually transmitted diseases. So they're saying that a kid can show up with a sexually transmitted disease, as far as we know, as young as 7, and no one's going to call the parent and say, hey, maybe you should be aware of this because, you know, maybe something's going on here that you need to know about, even if it is a consensual action, which in Colorado, you can't consent under the age of 14. So,
well, this is what becomes very interesting. This is what I'm starting to call cultural changers. They're game changers. The sex bill was a cultural changing culture. And then they had another bill last year, unbeknownst to parents, that 12-year-olds can be counseled if they have sexual confusion. What this is a this
an
this is an orchestrated effort to usurp parental rights. They're trying to sexualize your children, and guess who provides these medications? Transgender medications, sexual transmitted medications. It's a big money maker for Planned Parenthood.
And that's just stuff. Yeah. So folks listen, Planned Parenthood is a cottage industry for the Democrats. Planned Parenthood donates and helps get Democrats get elected. Democrats give Planned Parenthood money, pass laws like this that give Planned Parenthood more money. Then Planned Parenthood funnels some of the money around to get more Democrats elected. It's just this corrupt circle.
So there's two cultural things that are going on with the Colorado State Legislature I want to underscore in this conversation. One is the sex promiscuity and also usurping parental rights around all of these conversations. So that's number one. The second one is the drug culture, creating drug chaos. There's three what I call the trio of dangerous drug bills.
Okay.
And we're going to have more about this, so don't worry about it. We've heard various radio talk shows talking about this, but they're bills SB 20007, SB 20028, and HB 201065. Don't worry about that, folks. We've got it on our website. We're tracking these bills. If you go to ColoradoFreedomForce.com, join our Facebook page. We're tracking them for you. We're helping you to understand. But fundamentally, these three bills, what they're doing is trying to make heroin and injectable drugs and opiates, it's okay. And it's compassionate.
Well, and I need to point something else out too, Jan. There was a great article I read that some of the main people who are funding these drug bills are people like the strikers, like Tim Gill, some of the very same people who were involved in the Blueprint Colorado, right? And they're working hand in hand with, guess who? Big pharmaceutical companies, right? So who's going to benefit from all of this most of all? Let me ask you, and we got Anil Mathai on the phone. We'll bring him up in a second. I know Patrick Neville was telling me, he's a state minority leader here in Colorado, that he was trying to put a bill up that would limit and regulate some of the medication that could be given to kids beneath a certain age that would for transgender, I guess, medication.
That's coming up. That's coming up on the 13th. There is a cadre of bills coming up that are parental rights. One of them is to protect minors from utilization and sterilization. And guess what committee it's in?
The Kill Committee.
That's right. The House State Veterans and Military Affairs, this February the 13th, Thursday at 1:30, we will have that posted on our Facebook page. We need people to be writing emails, making phone calls. Parental Bill of Rights is on the chopping block. Equality and Fairness in Youth Sports Act is in on the chopping block. Parental authority to require educational reform. You wouldn't believe it's
what
all.
Just so people know, you know, Kill Committee is what the head of the majority party appoints to one committee that they can be assured that they'll vote according to the general dictates of leadership. And so, if you have a bill you hate, you just give it to the Kill Committee, hence its name, the Kill Committee, because if it goes there, it dies.
But, you know, Patrick Neville was pointing out to me, and this is so true, he said, you know, so here's the irony. He said, so I can't, you know, if I try to give my kids steroids, for instance, right? We all know steroids can be good in some situations, but not in other situations. That's illegal, and you go to prison. He said, but there is nothing now, if this bill passes, which it will, that would say, oh, I can start giving my toddler drugs that will end hormones that will end up sterilizing the child, changing their it's a transgender kind of thing. I mean, but that's fine, right? You know, I mean, you can't even get your kids' ears pierced, right, without some kind of consent form.
And not to mention, Julie, there are so many studies that show that young men and girls go through periods in their youth, 12 and under. Young girls often are tomboys. They play sports. They want to wear boys' clothes. Boys sometimes have some feminine traits. And what they say is both sexes will go through these phases, and then they come into puberty and it shifts. Sure. I was a huge tomboy. My mother never made me out to believe that there was any issues with that. And now I love perfume and wearing jewelry and, you know.
Hey, I wanted to be a nun, and we know how well that would have worked out. I was going to be a nun and go to Africa, right? I was like, so yeah, you can change your mind. Hey, that's Jan. Stay with us here, and let's bring on on the phones Anil from Colorado here in Adams County. Hey, Anil.
Hey, Anil.
Hey, Father Chuck. Hey, Sister Julie. Just want to say hello.
Hello.
And can you hear me?
We can.
We sure can.
Yeah. I just want to say just quickly, thank you so much for having the show, and thanks to Jan and you guys and everybody else for alerting the public on these issues. It's just a very, it's important, and thanks so much. That's all I wanted to say, basically.
Well, what do you think? What do you think about Trump coming to Colorado?
I think it's good. He'll, you know, I don't think he could win the state, but it's a good thing to always be in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Again, to win the state, you got to get everybody out to caucus on March 7th and build up a grassroots. And if that happens, then there's a possibility.
I'm sorry. That was an earthquake here. Hey, Anil, let me ask you this, and because you know you've heard, listen to some of the bills that Jan is talking about, and I know you. I consider you in many ways sort of the moral compass
of Republicans
in Colorado. What do you make coming at it from that angle of some of the things that are going on at the state legislature this year?
To what has already been discussed by everyone there, it's just a dangerous moment. The Democrats could care less, whether it's Colorado, whether it's Virginia. They are extremely arrogant to rip this president's State of the Union speech on live TV behind him. I mean, they're just at a point where they think that they are the kings and queens of society, and then we have no voice. So it's going to only get worse here in Colorado. Ironically, sadly, it's worse in Virginia. But it's up to the grassroots people to stand up and fight these people. And also, above all, hold Republicans accountable, because you got a lot of Republicans who just fold so quickly and they shouldn't be in office in the first place. So, so you got a whole bunch of them. So you got to hold everybody accountable. But people have to get involved. And caucus is where I would say you get started, from the grassroots. But, you know, if you don't have the momentum here in Colorado, It's going to be very difficult. That's what I can say. But, you know, identifying bills and challenging them and all this is extremely important. But in one sense, it does become difficult because the other side is extremely arrogant and they don't care.
No, all right. And Neil, hey, thank you for calling. Thank you for calling.
Take care, Neil.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
So, Jan, your kind of take on that, because I've been at the legislature, too, years ago covering it when they had the gun bill, right? And they had hundreds of people show up to testify against what they wanted to do. And the legislators, they didn't even just ignore them. They just made fun of them. It was like Don Lemon was sitting up there. I mean, and you're at the Capitol all the time. What's your experience?
Well, what's really important is that they also were able to recall a couple of those very legislators. What happens is that we're educating people too. So, for example, I'm doing live feeds of the hearings, and we were listening to a live feed together last week of the, again, two bills that ended up in the Senate's kill committee, the State Veterans and Military Affairs, and it was for parental rights to have the transparency with sex ed curriculum so that they could have it ahead of time to review it online and make a decision whether to opt in or opt out. Well, that got killed in committee. You should have seen the people that were on Facebook commenting as they were listening to these legislators' arrogance. They were emailing in real time. They were calling on the phone. They were so angry. So if nothing else, people are being educated, and hopefully that will translate into making sure that they vote these legislators out.
Let me go. We've got Karen Cataline joining us on the phone now. She's our colleague. She's got us launched into our own podcast thing, has her own podcast show every Tuesday morning. Hey, Karen, thanks for calling in.
Thank you for the sweet plug. It feels like a family meeting we're having.
It is. Well, Jan's in your kitchen. We're in our upstairs.
That's right.
I just wanted to throw in a quick comment. As you know, and Jan knows too, the whole transgender thing is so, you know, I've written a lot about it. It is egregious on so many levels. But, of course, Planned Parenthood and the drug companies are making money. But from an ideological perspective, they would not be trying to inculcate gender confusion in children, telling them that gender is fluid, if they weren't trying to obliterate masculinity, and it all goes to their desire to bring about socialism in this country. Now, that sounds like such a ridiculous black helicopter thing, but when you really look at it, all these crazy, insane things that they are proposing all go to the same thing, which is to remake America in the utopian dream of socialism. And well, who stands in the way? Christians, males, self-sufficient men. And they know that transgenderism and telling people ridiculous things and you can marry your dog or whatever offends the Judeo-Christian sensibility, and that's just what they want to do. So it has an ideological perspective as well as a financial one. And, you know, just talk to Trevor Loudon, and he'll tell you how
people really are. You know, it is amazing how, you know, you just go 20 years ago, and if you went down the legislature, you saw most of the bills, you would not kind of go, that's insane. How can a rational person think that? Now you get there and kind of go, well, what I thought was rational isn't rational anymore.
Hey, Karen,
They're trying to normalize the most bizarre of behavior, and then they want to demonize and turn law-abiding citizens into suspects and criminals. This is a direct assault on our culture. And we got to be clear about it because we're all on the front lines.
And Karen, where can people read you and hear you?
You are so sweet. KarenCataline.com. If you know how to spell my name, you'll find me. I'm filling in on a lot of different programs now. One is MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. I had Trevor Loudon on today.
He's
pre-taped
great.
The show.
He is just great.
So, you know, it's just a blast. And the more great voices who speak up for sanity, the better off. And you guys know that you are among the greatest sane voices because you're out there doing it. And you know, we got to do it. That's all there is to it. I had an uncle who said, I don't like what you write. I said, nobody's forcing you to read it.
Yeah. All right, Karen, thank you very much for calling in. KarenKenley.com.
Well, pleasure.
Jen, I'm going to come back to something you're doing that I think they just got to hate. And that is you're live streaming the hearings, right? Now, that's been possible for a while, but you guys are so smart because you're putting up on a format that people can see and hear. Brilliant. And you're saying when people, and I imagine these are just common everyday people who are like shocked when they hear
are. And to underscore what Karen just talked about, Trevor Loudon and James Simpson did a phenomenal presentation. Chuck, you would have loved it because it really got into the history and the origins of where this whole sexuality of children is coming from, the drug culture. It's going back decades, even centuries. We got a copy of the presentation. There are names that I didn't know that Chuck probably knows just because he's a history buff. There's things I just never heard of before, these philosophers and where this whole thing has come from, the genesis of this. And ColoradoFreedomForce.com, we're going to put a link this Sunday, I believe we're going to do, of that presentation.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we had so Trevor.
You've got to see this presentation. It's just amazing because what we're living today is it's orchestrated, folks. And some of these drug
deals. Just happening, right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. These drug bills, by the way, are coming out of the Harm Reduction Coalition.
The Harm Reduction Coalition. Great. Yeah.
And as well as Planned Parenthood. It's nationwide programs.
Yes.
This is.
Yes.
We have an opportunity to stop it here.
No. And you're right. And what, you know, we've talked about this a lot. What they've done in Colorado is the Democrats have created, through legislative action, an election system that just so favors them. It's unlikely that you know, Republicans will ever get a majority again. And, you know, we all thought, oh, well, 2019 was so outrageous that maybe they'd be calmer in an election year. But, Jan, what's your experience?
Well, the big thing I want to say is that Chuck has mentioned this many, many times for years. The Republicans have never worked closely together, and we don't have a billionaire like a George Soros that can back us.
Yeah,
the blueprint out of billion and millionaires. Yep. So what I have to say to the people out there, too, is the people at Colorado Freedom Force, we're all volunteers, and we are working with other volunteer organizations. If you like the work that we're doing, please help defer our costs by donating. And especially monthly donations are important because we have a new initiative that's coming up called the Petition Initiative, where we're going to actually petition about some of these bad bills. Well, Chuck, imagine if I've got to print 100,000 petitioners who want to voice their opinion that they don't like a particular bill. That's going to cost volunteers a fortune.
Yeah.
So if you want to help us keep our website alive and keep it active, please donate to ColoradoFreedomForce.com. Help us create momentum with the grassroots.
Well, it's like, help us help you.
Yeah.
So
help us help you.
Jan, you know, we're going to have to let you go. This hour goes so fast. We're going to have,
I know. Thank you.
Yeah, we want to have you on regularly to keep us up to date on what's going on. So thanks, everybody. Jan,
take care, Jan.
Take care.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a great weekend.
Okay,
you too. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that's it for us again, Julia.
No, we got a little, I just wanted
how much time we got?
We got
there?
About a minute.
1 minute. Okay.
1 minute. I wanted to say thank you to Jan Cook. And again, I encourage people to go there because, again, the time to become aware of legislation is not once it's passed, right?
Well, they're also following it, so you don't get upset about a bill that can never pass. You don't have to worry about it. They identify the ones that, hey, this one's for real. But also just to remind everybody, Tuesday night. February 11th, the Arapaho Tea Party. Love to see you there. It's a great, they got a great group there, and they welcome anybody. You don't have to be from Arapaho County, so.
Yeah,
we'd love to see you
that's
there.
Tuesday night, February 11th, 6:30 to 8:30. Basically, where they meet is at a fire rescue building, essentially at the corner of Mineral and Yosemite, kind of down there south of I-25. If you're a shopper like me, it's by the mall.
By the Park Meadows Mall.
Hey, once again, then, want to thank the folks at BBS Radio. They've done a great job. Thank you for everybody who called in. We'll
see you Monday.
Yeah, well, let me just one other thing, too.
Oh, okay,
two other things. If you came in a little bit late, I'm getting much better, and the BBS folks are already tremendous at this, at posting this up. So follow us on social media. We'll keep you posted on where we're posting to.
All right.
All right. That'll do it for us. Have a great weekend.
Take care.